Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Hanging out with you. Again, it's not hump day. It is just Wednesday.
No, it's hump day.
It's just a regular day.
I think it's hump day. I feel good about it.
Looks like you missed your cue, Dylan.
I was worried about not having the energy today after, you know, sleeping just about, you know, 30 feet away from here a couple nights ago. But, man, I feel good. I think the entire city, hopefully, still riding that wave just a little bit. Bo told me it's time to move on. I said, no, no. That's the
Before
beauty
you
of
say
not
anything.
Being in the locker room anymore. I don't have to move on. I can enjoy this for a little bit. I don't have to focus on Kansas City.
When Sandra walked in yesterday to do the steakhouse, I said to her, she said, first of all, something about how the whole station feels on the heels of the Falcons win. And I said, in particular, Bo, his entire mood is dictated on wins and losses. And it was, I've never seen you happier than I saw you on Monday. It was
Tuesday.
It was a little bit unnerving.
It's hump day, Tiff. It's hump day, so yesterday was Tuesday.
Yeah, well,
or whatever.
Well,
you know, it's all
so look, I think everybody knows that I'm an even keel guy, and you know, I don't show my emotions very often.
There's some sort of buzzer music you have, Dylan. Just
no reality. Reality is those are look. I love what I do, and I've covered a team that I grew up being a fan of, and I'm invested as much as you can be invested, and.
I need you to stop because I don't think people understand how rare that is in sports radio that you actually cover a team that you grew up rooting for in the city of Atlanta. Man, that's not that there's not many people like that. And I think that shouts out to you, to Dylon and whoever else, but you just look I mean, granted, I got drafted to the Falcons. I can't honestly say I grew up as a Falcons fan. It is few and far between. So I want to make sure I highlight that.
But to take it a step further, yes, I do work with them in a certain capacity as, you know, doing the radio. I do travel with that party. I'm there for the hot days of summer, and I'm there for every travel trip and every game. I have to take time out of my day. I don't have to, but I do. I take time out of my life, and I'm with that team. I'm on the plane. I'm on the buses. So I understand what goes into it, and I understand – all of those things, I have relationships with the people that are on the field and not just playing, but coaching and that are behind the scenes. So when we win a game, or they win a game, I win a game. And it's not just the fantasy other part. And it does dictate, but it also makes my job easier, right? I enjoy, right. I love what I do, and it makes it a lot easier, to your point. So it makes me happy to be able to talk about my team being a team I also grew up hating in a city that is one of the hardest places to play in.
Nothing makes you happier than hate.
Yeah, that's right. Hate fuels me. I hate to break it to y'all. But yeah, so it puts me in a good mood. And then to talk about it, like, I also see the misery that other fans in the city have gone through. Therefore, when we win a game, you win the game, and you have 24 hours to talk as much as you want. If people can get online and trash a team for every little thing they don't like and every misstep that they make and bash them, then the people that want to cheer for the team can get on here and gloat for 24. I had a guy yesterday try to tell me, well, you know, act like you've been here before. You won one game. And I go, I'm sorry. So you think people can crush the team, but we can't enjoy it. I want to enjoy wins because we don't get a lot of them. You know, not a lot of teams get to do what Kansas City's doing or what New England did.
Yeah.
So in the Pittsburgh Steelers, those organizations, they're few and far between, right? So enjoy every freaking win. I do believe in moving on, but you're right, Tiffany. Nothing makes me happier than a win in prime time against Philadelphia.
I do believe that a lot of times, and I think it's more this way in colleges, but it is this way with NFL cities as well. I think when your college that you go to, when those teams are successful, I think that school and that alumni base takes on that personality. I think you see it at Georgia right now. So I think the city of Atlanta becomes like that as well when their sports teams are good. There's just a different vibe around town, man. I honestly believe that, 100%.
People walking around with an extra pep in their step. The Falcons probably not enjoying it as much anymore because they have a short week and a game to get ready for. But still, the impact of the win being felt. And here's Coach Raheem Morris on what the effect is.
For me, it's not as emotionally driven as it is for some of the players. But for some of the players, it pumps more belief in them. You know, for us, we go around saying it all the time. But when players actually go out and execute it and do it, it's just something for those guys that just creates this energy for those guys to be able to get out there knowing that they can do anything at any time like they proved last night. For us, I kind of walk around with that kind of belief that they can do it at all times. But when they can go out there and actually show it to themselves and do it for themselves, I think that's just a little bit more special when those guys go do it together and how they want to do it last night.
The term there, belief, man, that echoes so hard as far as being in those locker rooms. And what football players are asked to do in any given day or any given practice, it's hard, right? And I think when you lack success after going through some of the things you go through, you start to ask yourself why you are doing it as hard as you are. And it's a long season. You're not going to get to that point for at least another couple of weeks. But when you look at the fruits of your labor being success – and being able to, you know, be on primetime television and knock off a good team in 2 minutes, that gives you more belief that what you are doing and the work you're putting in is actually worth something in the eyes of your coaches, of your teammates, of your fan base, and everything else. So I love the term belief right there because I think it is such a sticking point when you look at driving the work forward that this team is being asked to do every day.
Yeah, I mean, especially now that you're going into kind of an early gauntlet, right? You're going to get the Chiefs on Sunday night. Then you start with your NFC South games against teams that, you know, I know you've talked about this, don't look too bad right now.
No,
especially
when you
talk about the Bucs.
You know, this is supposed to be the worst division in football once again. And the Saints have looked like an offensive powerhouse, especially up front. Tampa Bay looks like the team we saw play Detroit in
another playoffs, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And they went back up there and this time they got it done, right? So they look like they've stepped back in. Baker Mayfield looks like he's a top 10, 12 quarterback right now. So it doesn't look easy and you have those teams lined up. You have three straight division games lined up when you get done with, I don't know, the reigning, defending, undisputed three out of the last four or whatever Super Bowl champions. And the best player in the NFL, and one of the best tight ends in the NFL, and oh my bad, one of the best defensive tackles in the NFL. And so, and look, this Kansas City defense is legit. This is the third defense in a row that you're going to face that can get the job done.
Well, I'm glad you brought up KC again in that capacity because it is going to be a tough matchup. And it's going to be a tough matchup that comes on a short week after the Monday night game. Here's Raheem Morris.
That's just normal business for us when you play on Monday night, when you play these night games. I know we had not as used to them around here the last couple of years, but when you want to play in these big moments and these big time games, this is what happens. And you got to be able to turn the page pretty quickly. You got to be able to evaluate. You got to be able to assess what happened the night before. Go find out what you can get better. Do some of those type of different things and then start to look at your new opponent that's coming up this week at the Kansas City Chiefs because you better be ready for those guys.
The Chiefs present problems for anyone.
I ain't scared.
But I also, but you know what? I see areas that you've struggled in and that I think you can kind of right some wrongs. One of which is the run defense has looked kind of bad the first 2 weeks. I mean, you're right now, you're 27th in run defense. You're giving up 161 yards a game. However, how much of that has been from, like, Jalen Hurts had 85 yards Monday night, and I think Justin Fields had over 60 himself, right? So that helps. And then I look at the other side of the ball, and Mike, you know all about this one. You're 30th in third down offense right now.
Yeah.
And you're going to face a defense that is 21st in third down defense. So you have a chance to take two areas that you've been not very good in and improve on. And I think that's what I'm trying to say is that you're going to have to find a different way to win this week.
Yeah, and I think the two most glaring things when you look at what Atlanta is offensively. Now granted, you need to score more. And I think that's the easiest thing to say. But let's break that down further. You have to sustain drives. We've been talking about the third down percentage since the beginning of the preseason. And we said the whole time, well, it's preseason. But I mean, ugly, ugly numbers in preseason. I'm talking about like 1 of 12, 1 of 13 in preseason games. So it just goes further into that when you're talking about that. And also red zone offense. When you get in to the red zone, you have to be able to find pay dirt. It's been a struggle for this team so far.
If you want to improve third down offense, be better on first and second.
Can a bye week cure all? Well, we'll have to wait and see about that with the Georgia Dogs. Lots of injury news on that front. We'll be right back with some college football just ahead on The Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Time for some college football and for the Georgia Dogs. Some tough news going into their bye week. Star offensive lineman Tate Ratledge, he'll miss multiple weeks after undergoing tightrope surgery on his ankle. So Coach Kirby Smart announced this. He's a, former first-team All-SEC guard, and he suffered an MCL and sprained ankle during that win over Kentucky.
So. Yeah, Georgia fans are familiar with it, the tight rope surgery, Tiff, because Brock Bowers had hit, I believe, last year.
Yeah. I think Lawson Lucky did, too, at some point.
Look, there's some big name guys. Aaron Donald's also had this tight rope surgery. It's he's obviously one of their better players. They kind of struggled up front, I thought, physically with Kentucky. I thought Kentucky did a good job on both sides of the line of scrimmage against Georgia. But, Mike, I don't know how this will hamper a guy like Tate Ratledge. I think you might, and you can talk about it, but to me, I would like to see him sit as long as he needs to. Obviously, he'll be out for a while, but sit as long as he needs to, because this is a guy you need in November.
Yeah, he's the leader in a lot of different ways up front. And when you look at some of the, you know, the stats that come out of this Georgia-Kentucky game, I would say that I think a lot of fans, Georgia fans, would agree with this. I think Kentucky was more physical than you expected. You had, what, 9 penalties, I think. You weren't great on third down with a guy that is considered the best quarterback in college football by a lot of people. And a lot of that had to do with that offensive line up front. The tackles struggled in certain situations. They were not able to run the ball effectively down in and down out, and they couldn't sustain. Here's what I'll tell you about the Tate Ratledge tightrope. For anybody that doesn't understand high ankle sprains, all right, when that happens, your two bones in your lower leg, your tibia and your fibula, they separate, all right? And one of the longest processes about the rehab for this is you wait on those ligaments to kind of tighten back up, right, to secure those two bones to your foot. This tightrope procedure, it just makes it happen a lot faster. They basically go in with a metal rope, they put it through your bones, they tighten it up, and they allow those ligaments to kind of heal in place while your foot structure is sound, and that makes it a lot quicker. It's like cuts it in half as far as the rehab time goes to be back to 100%. So he is going to be missed. I think the bright side for Georgia fans, if you're looking at this, this would have been a detrimental injury with a game coming up to Alabama. Both Alabama and Georgia have to look at this as there's a 12-team playoff this year. This is not going to make or break your season the way it would have, you know, 10 years ago or even a couple of years ago. You go in and do and get done whatever you need to and continue to build on things. But I think it is a massive injury for Georgia up front, because he is that guy. When he is 100%, he's the leader, he's the physicality, he brings that attitude. And obviously, they sorely missed it near the end of that game last weekend.
Let's get you some NIL news. Schools in Georgia have legal cover to immediately begin paying their athletes directly. This comes from the governor, who signed an order that prohibits the NCAA or athletic conferences from punishing any university or college in Georgia for offering compensation or compensating an intercollegiate student athlete for the use of such student athletes' NIL.
So this is similar to what Virginia did recently, the state of Virginia, in July.
Yep, Virginia and Virginia Tech can both, yeah.
Yeah, they have, Virginia and Virginia Tech have not discussed publicly their plans. Basically, from what I have read, is that Georgia and Georgia Tech have no plans to pay players out of school money, right? It's still going to be NIL stuff. But what this does, and the reason why, you know, they're happy with the Governor Kemp for doing this, and why Virginia Tech are happy with, I don't know Virginia's governor, but the reason they're happy is because if other schools around the country started directly paying these players, Georgia could say, hey, we can do that too.
Yeah.
Here you go.
Well, that goes back to the article. This is coming from ESPN. So sources told ESPN that neither Georgia Tech, the two power conference schools in the state, have plans to start paying players immediately. But as Bocha said, the executive order gives them the option to pay players if other schools around the county start to do so. Now, a statement did come from Georgia Tech, and this is from the athletic director, Josh Brooks, and he thanked the governor. He said, we extend our sincere gratitude for his leadership today. So he said, in the absence of nationwide image and likeness regulation, this executive order helps our institutions with the necessary tools to fully support our student athletes in the pursuit of NIL opportunities. They remain competitive with our peers and secure the long-term success of our athletic program. I think that's the important part, remaining competitive with your peers.
It's a cover-your-ass bill that the state and the major athletic directors in this state got together, and it's a cover-your-ass bill. Just in case.
Well, I think that the other thing to take away, and I don't know if you guys saw the headline yesterday with Tennessee adding the talent fee on the back of their tickets starting next year. I mean, that's what it's for, right? Why do you do that? So that you can pay your players from your university. Now, I don't know how I feel about actually tagging it with a talent fee on the actual ticket. Like, you could just raise ticket prices and it could just be a talent fee. I don't know that you need to actually make it public. Well, here's your talent fee. But it is what it is. I don't know. I'm sitting in a different chair, I guess, than most, where I look at it. I'm like, I don't want to pay the talent fee. It's, you know what I mean?
No. Well, it's the end of it's. It, look, if, as soon as this bill has to be used, as soon as Georgia Tech has to use the luxury of this bill, college athletics is dead.
Well, you just wonder, with all the money being generated, how everything can be spread about throughout possibly other sports or even staff-wise. I saw some interesting tweets going out from people who are SIDs, sports information directors, for those of you who don't know the word. It's kind of like PR, like in the NFL world or in professional world. And so a lot of those people are kind of raising questions of, all right, am I, you know, going to get paid a little bit better now? So it's really interesting to see how all this is
That's a really good question. I would be interested to see if there is, with this bill and everything else going on, if there is a floor or if there is a standard income for these athletes all across the board. With it being tickets and you paying a talent fee, I wonder if that opens up a floodgate of paying those guys that are playing in those games where the talent fee is being paid to pay them more money. I think that would be one of the biggest questions I have as well as we move forward throughout this process.
All right, let's look at some matchups that we have coming ahead over the weekend. And so you've got Tennessee and Oklahoma, number 6 Tennessee, that is, and number 15 Oklahoma. So this is SEC play now beginning for the Sooners.
Yeah, it is. And I'm just going to throw this out there because I've been presented this question a lot the last 2 days. Oh, Georgia and Alabama playing 2 weeks. It's a matchup of the SEC's best two teams. I'm not sure that it is. And I think that Texas has a lot to do with that. And I think this Tennessee team has a lot to do with that. Man, they are terrifying. When you look at Nico, the quarterback, and you look at the physicality they are playing with right now in the run game, rolling up almost 500 yards rushing, and granted, I know it was against an awful team, but you look around the other teams in the SEC that played not great teams last weekend, and they struggled at times. So Tennessee, terrifying to me. If you're a Georgia fan, if you're an Alabama fan, if you just simply want your team to win the SEC, they are such a dark horse contender for being one of the best teams in the country.
And on the other side, real quick, about Oklahoma, they're not terrifying right now. Offensively, they are struggling with the first-year starter, Jackson Arnold. Look, the best thing about this game for Oklahoma is that it's in Norman, because you get a little bit of a, hey, we have a good home field advantage too. I know that Tennessee plays in one, but, you know, coming here to Norman, this is one of the better atmospheres to play in college football. That's it. That's your golden goose right now, because Oklahoma has struggled mightily so far to start this season. They just don't look like the team they did last year.
You said your golden goose. Also of note, Georgia State on a bye week. They come back and they will get Georgia Southern. So gross if you went there. My apologies to you. Georgia Tech is at number 19.
Shots fired.
Louisville. So I guess some people are calling this a hidden gem on the schedule. So Louisville beat Tech 39-34 last season. Of course, the Cardinals have a really potent rushing attack too. So
yeah, that's a huge game. That's a huge ACC game, because that game could end up maybe deciding down the road who plays in that ACC championship game, because you're going to see where the way this playoff's going to play out. If Georgia Tech or Louisville get to the ACC championship game with one loss or less, you could see them as having a chance to make it in the college football playoff, regardless of what happens in that ACC championship game. Pay attention to those things.
Yeah, hidden gem. And then you've got Nebraska and Illinois, and will Dylan Raiola continue to be Patrick Mahomes? No, I'm just kidding.
He's going to continue to be his clone, look like him.
Look like, but
he's going to continue to creepily try to look more like him.
Yeah,
it's a little bit weird, I'll be honest with you. But
maybe he always looked like that. No, I don't know.
No. It's not the look. It's the mannerisms. It's the pregame. It's everything.
The haircut.
It looks like he studied him.
The sunglasses. The clothes.
It's just a little bit interesting. But I will
say
this:
3-0 in the season.
Yeah,
so
I will say Nebraska and both these teams, honestly. But Nebraska is one of the sneakiest best teams in the country. And obviously, you know, going through what they've been through and trying to get back to where they're at, Dylan Raiola is a massive part of that. He has delivered on the promise that he had coming out of high school. I love what Matt Rhule has done with this program. They look exciting, and they're not winning games by just crazy stuff. They are bludgeoning people.
Well, you want to talk about schools that could sneak their way to the top, Tiff. I mean, you win this game against, I think, a good Illinois team at this point. Then you have Purdue, Rutgers, Indiana, at Ohio State, and then UCLA, and then your next big game would be at USC. So what I'm saying is the schedule sets up well.
It does.
That you can start gaining momentum. Even a loss at Ohio State wouldn't derail your season.
USC at Michigan. So
this is weird in so many ways.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
Is USC
right
as good as we think they were after beating LSU? And is Michigan as bad as we think they are after getting demolished by Texas?
Yeah. Well, and also, when you look at just the fact that this is now a conference, let's just call it a rivalry, and with everything else going on, it just makes absolutely no sense to me. This is one of the things I've hated about realignment. But it is cool that we get this style of game in the middle of September, right? So I guess that's one of the perks to it. A couple of blue bloods in the country in terms of college football will square up. And I'm with you, man. A lot of questions, I think. We'll start really understanding with a sample size of four games moving forward what these teams actually are.
Then you got Utah and Oklahoma State. And it looks like the plan is for Cam Rising, their quarterback, to start this week. So this hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan. Injured? Hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Up next, we'll get you caught up on the Braves. And I was really wanted to say something cheesy, but then I stopped myself.
Or maybe corny.
It would have been pretty corny. But the latest on the WNBA in our own backyard, I didn't want to lay myself out there. It's coming up in the TV's timeout. Stay with us here on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I wanted to say something like, you know, dreaming, but then that's like, nah, you can't do that. Can't do it. We'll be back.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
For Trent, pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
This hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan. Injured? Hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Not good news when it comes to your Braves, who lost a 4-run lead and ended up falling to the Reds 6-5, despite what? Big homers from Michael Harris, Money Mike, and Matt Olson. So, not good when you lose the lead, obviously.
I'd love to know, and I know... You know, we talked a little bit about the Eagles at one point being like 99.3% chances of victory on Monday night. I'd love to know what the Braves' chances of victory were when you knock out a starter in the second inning and you have two home runs and you're up 3-0 at one point just off the rip. It blows my mind when you look at the amount of pitchers that a team like the Reds had to run through in that game, and the fact that you had so many men left on base. You couldn't come up with clutch hits, even though you were hitting the ball over the place. You just couldn't simply drive runners in, it felt like, after the first inning, man. It's just maddening to watch. bottom line. And it just, I know that there's injuries and Albie starts the rehab assignment yesterday, and that's all good and great, but goodness gracious, man. Even guys like Marcelo Zuna right now just cannot seem to buy an RBI. It's been weeks since we've seen Marcelo Zuna knock somebody in.
They are two games behind now, the New York Mets, for third and the final NL wildcard spot.
Yeah, I was going to say Ozuna is sitting on like 37 and 99, I think. And you're just like, come on, man. Get there. Get to 40 and 100 at least. At least, you know, get you another 40 and 100 season. Look, they are two games out from the Mets and the Diamondbacks, as you said. The Diamondbacks aren't playing great, neither are you, but you got to pick it up. You still have that three-game set with the Mets coming up once you finish this six-game road trip. I guess you would say, I was going to say road stand, but it's road trip because it's a homestand road trip. You got to get tread water and get Ozzie back, and then maybe you might have a shot to still sneak your way in. It just does not look very good right now.
Do you think this team has what it takes to make a final push?
Yeah, because I think you have the starting pitching, and I think you have the bullpen. And I know that last night didn't look that way, but you know you had to throw Grant Holmes out there for four. The bullpen has been taxed a little bit lately. You have the starting pitching. I think if you could just get a little bit of offense, just a little bit, just find somebody, you know, one of the stand-in players, I hate to say that word, but one of these guys that's had to step up and fill in for an injury, if one of these guys could get hot and stick with the other, because Matt Olson's been playing well lately, you could sneak your way in with the pitching.
Mike was shaking his head.
Well, it's just frustrating because I look at what you have to win in these instances. We've said it a number of times. I think Michael Harris has to be a catalyst. I think Matt Olson has to be a catalyst. And so for them to do what they did early in the game, and Grant Holmes wasn't great, but he wasn't awful. And it just has to be more well-rounded than that. You have to find ways when you get runners on second, runners on third, to drive them home. And you just cannot have the lack of clutch hitting you had in this game, and you can't have the collapse by guys like Pierce Johnson down the stretch. Jesse Chavez as well, man. It just, you have to find, the starting pitcher's been great, the bullpen's been great. But, man, over the last week, it just seems like these guys continue to struggle. And when you're not driving runners in when you have the chance, I don't know what that leads to down the stretch.
Michael Harris had a similar thing to say, too. And he was talking about missed opportunities. So
yeah, that's frustrating.
Okay, we have it. Let's go.
No, not necessarily. I mean, I feel like the other team still has a factor in it and putting good swings on the ball and doing what they need to. So it's not necessarily just us losing the game completely, but the other team's doing their job as well.
And he's doing such a good job right now of hitting bad pitches. The home run he hit, 91, right down the middle. And he turns on that thing and hits it a mile. So it's just, like I said, man, you look at baseball is such a frustrating sport because you look at things you have to have, right? You have to have. And so many times you haven't gotten those throughout the first, you know, three quarters, five, six of the season from Matt Olson, Michael Harris with the injuries, some other places. And yet here we are getting those things and you still find a way to lose the game last night in a game that you absolutely had to have. So it just, I don't know, man. I bang my head on the wall sometimes over this team.
Let's head to TB's timeout. Wanted to take some time for the WNBA because the Atlanta Dream, they beat the Chicago Sky 86-70. So, and with that win, they moved to an eighth playoff spot with just one game left. So they broke a three-way tie with Chicago and Washington. By the way, the Mystics, they lost to New York on Tuesday. So, and in this win, Tina Charles continues to do Tina Charles things. She had 16 points and 14 boards. So she tied a WNBA double-double record over the course of her career. She has 193. That's insane.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. Look, the Dream look in a good spot. I think tomorrow is the final date of the regular season for the WNBA. Playoffs, I think, start maybe the 22nd. I could be wrong. Caitlin Clark has set the single season assist record. Asia Wilson actually just topped Angel Reese's rebound record for the season. Asia Wilson is going to walk away with the MVP award.
Hands down, yeah.
So it's been, in a lot of ways, an historic season for the WNBA with the rookies that came in that meshed with some already stars of the league. Diana Taurasi is kind of nearing the back end of her career, so it's kind of a change in the guard in some ways. But Asia Wilson has been freaking ridiculously dominant. They seem to be like they've gotten their stuff together for a postseason run. I think the Liberty are going to be the top seed.
Yeah, and you just have to hope that Atlanta can, what, they close out the season. It will be Atlanta at New York, Chicago at Connecticut, and Indiana at Washington. So this is all in the Thursday regular season finale. So you hope that they can make a push and keep that spot and get in. But yeah, I would say overall this year has been great for the WNBA, and getting to cover a couple games this season over at CBS was phenomenal. They're both Caitlin Clark games. I think I had a Dallas Wings game as well. But just seeing again just how the game was elevated and how much of an impact these rookies came in and made. And I think it also showed, too, a veteran like Asia Wilson
She's just been dominant.
And I liked how when they weren't winning, I don't know if you saw this on social media, but she was just like, no more fashion shows, walking into the building and wearing white T-shirts. Like, white T-shirts are about
respect.
That business.
I love that, man. Yeah, I love that. I wish somebody would have told Rary McLeod that the other day. I know that it's so funny, man.
Yeah, but
I'm down with that.
Yeah, but he had good meaning behind it about, his dad and everything.
It was a cool story. I heard that. I don't know if I agree with it, but it was a much better meaning than I thought it would be.
I will say it's funny because this whole fashion thing of what you wear into stadiums has just taken off the last 5 years, it feels like. It's just become such a thing. It's just kind of funny.
Short week for the Atlanta Falcons. The Chiefs are on deck for Sunday Night Football. What's the game plan? We'll hear from Coach next on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rep pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We are in the 7 o'clock hour, and it is brought to you by Zero Res, smart, lasting, clean. A short week for the Atlanta Falcons, just beat the Eagles on Monday Night Football, and now they are getting set to face the Kansas City Chiefs on Sunday Night Football.
Taylor Swift probably going to be the chefs. Someone call them the chefs, yes.
Wait, you missed my Taylor Swift reference. Everyone could get mad at me in their cars. She's probably going to be at the stadium.
See, I don't know anybody that actually gets mad about this.
I don't know anyone either. I just see it on the interwebs.
I see a lot of people saying, you guys shouldn't be mad about the Taylor Swift. And I'm like, I don't even know who you're talking
to.
There's more people that want to warn me about being mad about Taylor Swift than are actually mad about Taylor Swift.
Is this one of those situations that you always get onto me about? Like, all right, stop. Just because you see one person on Twitter doesn't mean that it's everybody.
Don't you turn this against us.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, now the shoe's on the other foot, huh?
I see it everywhere.
Yeah, it's
everyone's
everywhere.
Talking about this. Yeah. Like,
one person tweeted me.
Funny enough, there was an older gentleman next to me at the Eagles game who was quite upset about the whole Taylor Swift thing, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
So there's maybe that one person.
Like at the game?
I didn't know Mike Bell went to the game.
At the game? Like, what was he saying?
Why were y'all talking about that?
I was
going to
say, that's what I'm asking. He was a
nice Eagles fan, a little bit of an older gentleman. And he was
that's
just,
a rarity.
And so they showed, it was either Tyrese Maxey, I think it might have actually been Bradley Cooper. It was Bradley Cooper. They showed Bradley Cooper on the big screen because he was at the game.
Yeah, they showed him multiple times. I got tired of seeing him. I like him.
And to your point, Bo, he was saying, man, see, I hate when they do this stuff. You know, I don't come here to know that Bradley Cooper's at the game. I come to watch the game. It's not just Taylor Swift, but he brought up Taylor Swift in him saying that he hates to
Fair
see
enough.
Celebrities.
Fair enough.
Total sidebar. People were kind of annoyed at the U.S. Open, not just her, but just at seeing celebrities. But I say people in the way that Bo says it. So I guess I saw it on social, and now I'm getting carried away.
It was the same in the Olympics as well, Tiff. And I don't know how much of it you saw, but there was a lot of celebrity references the entire time.
Especially Tom Cruise.
Yeah, Tom Cruise was out there the entire time.
So. I think Tom Cruise was being paid also to be
there.
Well,
he did the closing ceremony in promotion for...
But he did it for free, reportedly. That's what I read
the other
day. Yeah,
right. Tom Cruise has never done anything in his life for free. That is such a joke.
I mean, you have his number?
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure I read that he did it for free.
Yeah, do you believe everything you read?
No.
Okay, then. All right. So you guys, all the things you say about me, you have both done in this segment.
Bo's playing the Uno reverse card this segment.
That's
right. But at least what we're doing is it's positive.
What is positive?
Well, it's positive that Tom Cruise might have... you know, done this promotional stuff for free. That's not like a negative. You would be spouting off on someone telling you that the Falcons need to sign.
Let me ask you a question. Hold on. Don't change this. Don't turn this back on me. Let me ask you a question. Do you think that Tom Cruise spent his own money to fly over to France? Yeah.
I don't think it would hurt his pockets.
I'm trying to think. Is CNBC enough? I don't know if that's good for you or not. But
I would think that's
incredible. It's all fake news.
He didn't get a paycheck for the skydiving stunt. He did it all for free.
Let me tell you something.
I don't know.
So he spent his own money to fly over there. He bought his own Olympic tickets.
I didn't say any of that. I said the closing ceremonies.
Yeah, but that means if he got all those benefits, he didn't do it for free. He got benefits to show up. That's my point.
I mean,
do it for free.
You don't have a good point.
I always have a good point.
Nobody said that.
I guess.
Anyways, the Falcons.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
I proved y'all wrong. That's why y'all pivoted.
Well, that's all, really?
If you pivot, you lose.
I don't think that's how it goes.
It doesn't an argument.
Okay, sure. Hey, Falcons, what are they going to do with this short week and having to prepare for the Chiefs? Let's take a listen to Coach Raheem Morris.
That's just normal business for us when you play on Monday night, when you play these night games. I know we had not as used to them around here the last couple of years, but when you want to play in these big moments and these big time games, this is what happens. And you got to be able to turn the page pretty quickly. You got to be able to evaluate. You got to be able to assess what happened the night before. Go find out what you can get better. Do some of those type of different things and then start to look at your new opponent that's coming up this week at the Kansas City Chiefs because you better be ready for those guys.
Yeah, you got to be ready for Kansas City because I know that they have Pacheco out, but they still are potent. You know, Xavier Worthy and Rashee Rice are guys that can get it done. And then you look over there at tight end and, Noah Gray and Travis Kelce. Because Noah Gray is sneaky good. He does a lot of things sneaky good, especially he's probably one of the better blocking tight ends, I think, that doesn't get a lot of notice.
He's their Charlie Warner, right? I mean, they have the Kyle Pitts, Charlie Warner relationship between Noah Gray and Travis Kelce. Travis Kelce has not done much this year. And to be honest with you, Kansas City really hasn't done much this year. And I don't want to act like I'm not impressed with them. I am. They're a good team. There's a reason they've gotten a couple of wins. But it's not, to me, and it was the same way to start out last year. right? It was the same way, and they ended up winning the Super Bowl. So I'm not saying they're not potent. That's not the thing I'm trying to say. But when you look at the way they've done it so far, Patrick Mahomes is – he makes everybody right. The offensive line hasn't been good. Travis Kelce hasn't been good. Xavier Worthy has been here and there. But in the receiving game, it just – there's been a number of things that have not gone the right way for them, and they continue to roll out wins, which makes them terrifying.
I think they have been offensively better this year to start the season than they were last year, to your point. But it feels like, and it's really, honestly, I think it's just basically what you just said in a different way. It feels like people know how to play them now, yet so it makes these games grinded out games, but they have the ultimate X factor in the NFL. And it's number 15.
Well, you talked a little bit about their running back situation, right? So they may be a little thin in the backfield. The linebackers for the Atlanta Falcons may be a little bit thin in that position as well. How about the guys that are going to be healthy and available? Here's Coach Morse.
We're probably a little thin, having three on an active roster. We do have one on practice squad, as you know, but you got a lot of confidence in those three guys to go out there and execute what we need to get done in order to allow Lamon to get back and be ready to play for us when he gets healthy.
Yeah, Nate Lamon not going to be available for this weekend.
And I think, and I said this last week because of Jalen Hurts' legs, and I feel kind of the same way, is that when you have these more athletic guys, and I'm not saying that Troy Anderson was great at it because he wasn't. I mean, there was a number of times that he had bad angles and missed tackles as well. But Lamon is very much more of a downhill thumper. I don't think he's as much sideline to sideline as a Troy Anderson is. So when you deal with athleticism from the quarterback position the way you will have seen in the first few weeks of this schedule, I'm not saying it's a good thing by any stretch. I think the timing is about as good as it could have been, though.
Don't you think that instincts, though, make up for some of that? I'm not saying it makes up for all of it, but I think Lamont's instincts at linebacker are so much better than Troy Anderson's. And that's not a knock on Troy Anderson. He's still learning to play the job. You know, it's I'm not criticizing him. I think Nate Lamon just has very good instincts that helps close the gap in that aspect.
Well, I think it's a good point. I think instincts come from understanding and preparation, right? I mean, you can have those instincts. If you see what, you know, whatever you saw on film, you can get downhill a little half step faster. And I think that comes with time. And to your point, Troy Anderson, he just doesn't have a lot of time, right? And I think he'll continue to build on that as he moves throughout and expands this role. Remember, it was Nate Lamon that came in when Troy Anderson got hurt last year at the beginning of the year, and now it's kind of the flip side. And I think it was huge for Nate Lamon to have all those reps last year, and I think in the end it'll be huge for Troy Anderson to get these while Nate Lamon's out over the next few weeks.
Nothing excites you guys more than talking about an all-around running back, and that seems to be what Bijan Robinson has become when it comes to pass protection and doing all the things a good running back does. Let's take a listen to Coach Morris.
Yeah, that's the vision for Bijan. Bijan is a well-rounded back, can go out there and do whatever you ask. You're probably more excited about him stepping up, making a couple of those blocks when it came to pass protection yesterday, doing some of those different things. You've seen the chip blocks at the end on some of the defensive ends, which was really exciting. But Bijan can always catch the ball at the backfield. Bijan has always been known as a runner. Now him developing to this pass pro guy and also being able to help out with some of the chips, some of the things he's able to do, the screen game, whatever the case may be, whatever's called upon, Bijan can do. My son calls him Black Panther and he plays like it.
How many times did you guys watch that block he made?
I love that. It's been all over the socials. I think the NFL Twitter put it out.
I think they did too.
And the thing that stinks for me is I'm watching it and I'm seeing Lindstrom get beat and give up pressure right there in the middle, which it stinks. So I was like, you know, can y'all just zoom in a little bit more on McGarry and Bijan and everybody else? But it was awesome. And I'll say, coming off of week one, and I sat here and broke it down for you guys, how many times Kyle Pitts was asked to chip on his way out, and they were largely ineffective. I would say at least half of the time he was asked to chip, it seemed like he was helping T.J. Watt more than he was hindering him. But it's not just those plays, right? When Bijan hits you that hard and puts you on your butt, boy, I promise you, the next time you step up, you're looking for where Bijan is lined up in the backfield, and you're looking for what his assignments are. You're going to have your head on a lot more of a swivel than you did the plays before that.
So it's funny that you threw to Bijan and we talked about him. I'm sitting here watching on Twitter. There's a video that someone put up, and it's Chris Lindstrom go one-on-one with Jalen Carter. And I didn't realize how many one-on-ones Jalen Carter and Chris Lindstrom really had, but they had quite a lot. And I want to apologize a little bit to Chris Lindstrom because I did talk about the one time he got burned.
Yeah, he got beat twice.
But he went one-on-one with Jalen Carter pretty much the entire game and dominated Jalen Carter. That said, in all of these reps I'm seeing, I can't tell you how many times I'm seeing Bijan. Obviously, there's the chip on Nolan Smith where he just de-cleats him. But He probably chipped Bryce Huff like seven times, and some of them were the air chips where he got in his way on the way out of the pocket for a route, yeah, or the backfield for a route, just to throw Huff off,
just a tick,
and it slows him. That is very good stuff from a second-year running back.
Our buddy Hugh Douglas yesterday put out the missing poster on Instagram for Bryce Huff.
Oh, he was
like, it's a guy's
that
been missing
sick
in action, man. I was like, ooh, that stinks. You don't want to see that.
You want to talk about it? You know, we always talk about who wins trades?
Yeah.
Right now, no one has won that trade between really? The Jets and the Eagles because one guy hasn't showed up on the field and the other guy hasn't showed up at all. I mean, not even into the building. So it's kind of funny.
We'll get you caught up on the Braves. Plus, the Chiefs have brought back a familiar face ahead of this matchup against the Falcons. We'll give you the details when we go in the huddle next on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This hour brought to you by Zero Res. Smart, lasting, clean. All right, the Braves. Well, they fall to the Reds 6-5 after losing a 4-run lead that was powered by Money Mike and Matt Olson, both hitting some home runs for this team, but not enough to overcome, as you had mentioned before, Bo, the Reds pitching staff, right?
Well, yeah, I mean,
went through everybody.
They did. Holy crap! The amount of pitchers they used was honestly ridiculous. And then obviously Diaz comes in and gets his 28th save. But, you know, Chavez gives up a run, and then you got Pierce Johnson gives up some runs, and just, you know, you had some unearned runs. The defense wasn't great last night either. There was some randomly weird miscues. It was just a plethora of things that you can't have.
Yeah. Marcell Ozuna, I think I mentioned earlier, just continues to search for RBIs. It's now been 19 games. It's even been more than that since a home run, but he just cannot find a way to get runners home. And everything else going on with this team, I mean, I mentioned it. And Dylan, I can't remember what you told me the number was. He actually hit me with the win probability afterwards. Was it the sixth inning? The Braves had it 89%.
Yeah, bottom of the sixth, they had an 89.1% chance to win.
I mean, that is just...
Well, hold on.
That is just sickening.
It's been a bad two-day stretch for the win probability stat here in Atlanta sports.
Yeah.
So,
doesn't mean I won't be sick about it.
Well,
I mean, I know the Eagles fans are sick too. So
there was a 0.7% chance the Falcons could win that game.
There's always a chance.
And that one proved it bared to be a real chance. So that 0.7% was a lot bigger than it looked. But yeah, it's frustrating because these are games you've won in the past, and this just shows how much you're actually missing on this team right now.
Yeah, no, I agree. Hopefully, Ozzie Albies, I think he began his rehab stint yesterday. Hopefully, he can get back in the fold for this last little stretch run because I think you need that leadership. You need his ability, and anything he can provide is probably going to be better than what you have as far as clutch hitting that you've been getting recently. So.
All right, let's go in the huddle. All right, going into this week's Sunday night football matchup against the Falcons, the Chiefs have brought back a familiar face after releasing him in the middle of the season 6 years ago, and that familiar face would be Kareem Hunt, the running back. So they are looking for help at that position after starter Isaiah Pacheco broke a fibula in last week's game against the Cincinnati Bengals. So he's been signed to the practice squad. I guess we'll see what happens after that.
Yeah, Ice Kareem. Listen, it just feels to me like there's just some names that always pop up when it's the Kansas City Chiefs, and just those guys get plugged in, and they're good. And I have no doubt that, obviously he'll start on the P squad and everything else, and if he learns the offense and is in shape, that he'll be playing for them in a couple of weeks. And I have no doubt that he will be extremely good in this offense because – Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce and Xavier Worthy with his speed, they stress you in so many other ways that these running backs become a little bit of a second thought, right? And he'll have a number of opportunities, as will everybody else that'll be inserted into this role. But, man, he is he's found more life after the craziness that was his last couple of years, and I think he's found a good landing spot.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it's safe, you know, it's a point to bring up that he wasn't really released because of what he was doing on the field. It was things off the field went with them. Yeah. And now he's bounced around, and he's back, and he's going to have a chance to help contribute. I was kind of looking forward to the Carson Steele era kicking off in Kansas City, but I guess it'll be a split duty to backfill. We knew it would be anyways, and they also have Samaje Perine as well.
Yeah.
So on Monday, Panthers announced that Bryce Young, the number one overall draft pick, was going to be benched. And now Andy Dalton will be their starter when they get set for the Raiders on Sunday. Coach Dave Canales, he addressed the media yesterday, and he gave some insight into the decision to bench Young.
I want to keep that private. What I would like to say, though, is this is something after I watched the film, I looked at it, had a thought, started working on talking to the guys that we make decisions with. Certainly a lot of parties involved there. Ultimately, this comes on me, and my number one responsibility is to help the Panthers win.
So Canales also, at the start of that press conference, or the start of that statement that he just gave, he was asked if David Tepper, Panthers owner, had influence on his decision, and that's when he said he'd rather keep that private.
That's yes. That's a capital Y, capital E, capital S. That's the way to say yes without saying it. That, and then that same press conference, Steph, he said that Andy Dalton gives us the best chance to win Sunday. And the reporter goes, "Why do you say that?" And he was like, "Well, I don't disagree with him, though. He goes, "I think his resume speaks for itself." I don't disagree with him either. You know why?
Because, I don't disagree with him.
Well, yeah. When Andy Dalton's stepping on the field, Tiffany, he's not seeing ghosts right now. And Bryce Young is seeing ghosts. This reminds me, I'm not saying Bryce Young would have been successful. I really don't know. But when you force a guy to draft a guy that he doesn't want and then coach him and then take the reins away from him, then give him back, then take him away and give him back, and then you fire the guy in the middle of the season, and then you bring in another guy, you have broken Bryce Young just like Bill Belichick broke Mac Jones when he put Matt Patricia, a defensive bearded coordinator, up there with a pencil in his ear who's never coached offenses of life and says, "Hey, tell this guy to play quarterback."
And it happens, man. And honestly, I think it's going to happen to even more guys when you look around the league at some of the ups and downs. Joe Burrow looks broken right now. You look at Zach Taylor's offense right now and Joe Burrow and everything he's been asked to do. So many underneath throws that are just trying to nickel and dime you, and he's not getting it done. They're not throwing the ball downfield because the whole Jamar Chase situation. Look, here's what I'll say about Dave Canales and this presser. We wondered last year when this job came open, who wanted this job? Who would they possibly be able to talk into getting this job with David Tepper always looking over your shoulder and making these decisions? And somehow Dave Canales was the guy they talked into doing it. I was shocked at the time. I thought it was the best hire they could have possibly made. And now we're still asking questions 2 games in to the 2024 season about who's making decisions. I think that Dave Canales is okay with it at this point because I think it honestly takes probably some pressure off of his shoulders. But it'll be interesting to see this dynamic as it continues over there in Charlotte of who is making decisions for this team and this franchise.
I asked this question Monday. We were sitting at the table with some writers and some people that obviously do the broadcast. And I said, I know there's only 32 jobs in NFL, but when you have an owner that basically does whatever they want and will fire you in a heartbeat and is known for just pushing for their way, what motivates you to take that job? And I think it's the fact that there's only 32, a huge payday that's guaranteed once you sign that contract, right, with the buyouts, and the fact that once you've been a head coach, well, let me rephrase it like this. I don't think most owners around the league are going to hold the head coach responsible and hold it against them for what the debacles that happen in Carolina these days, because they're in those meetings with the guy. They know how it goes.
They most certainly know how it goes. On to the Steelers. Russell Wilson still dealing with a lingering calf injury. What does that mean for Justin Fields? Here's Coach Mike Tomlin.
As I sit here today, Russ is not scheduled to be a full participant in practice, and so we're ready in a plan that features Justin and his readiness. We'll follow Russ throughout the week, and if his participation gets to a level in participation and quality where we should consider him, we'll delve into that at that time. And obviously, when that happens is a component of the consideration. But as I sit here today, he is not scheduled to be a full participant tomorrow in practice, and so we're readying ourselves around Justin, and we'll stay in that mindset until something else happens. Hypotheticals is a waste of our time.
A component of consideration. I love it. I'm going to start using
that. I just love the way he talks. He's so blunt, matter of fact, in his pressers.
Well, he gave you an answer, and then he basically said, "Don't follow up." Hypotheticals are a waste of our time.
Well, I love it, man.
I do too.
He got asked about the situation, I think, after their game this weekend. And so he said, "Don't ask me that now. Ask me on Tuesday."
Yeah,
and so they did.
Hypotheticals are a waste. You know, that sounds like Something I've said to Amy before when she's
hypotheticals
like,
is a waste of our time.
What do you think about this? I don't do hypotheticals.
I will tell you this much. I find it hard to believe that if they can pull off a win against the Chargers, that Justin Fields will be sitting on the bench anytime soon. I don't think there's any way.
There's no way.
They're not going to change quarterbacks until they lose a game or two where they lose because the offense is the reason, and that makes sense. Like, the fact that their defense has been so good to start the season and they've shut teams down, once the offense becomes the weak link where it's keeping you from winning games, that's when they would reevaluate this situation.
And as we've
hypotheticals
seen
in, is a waste of our time.
Thank you, Coach.
And as we've seen in history with Mike Tomlin, the Steelers are not afraid to make changes or have to shuffle around the quarterback position. They've dealt with it with having to deal with injuries. They've dealt with it when having to deal with some poor play.
And credit to Justin Fields. He has not thrown an interception, and he has not fumbled the ball. And that's a massive credit to him. Arthur Smith has done a good job with him in this role.
He's played within what the system and what they need him to do. And by the way, Dylan, Ding, that needs to be right there with Terry Fontenot. It's not an arrogance. It's a confidence.
All right. We got a mic'd up coming up. What you got?
Which one? It's Which One Wednesday. Don't want to miss that. You already know the deal. It's a massive showdown. And I think everybody's out for blood this week. We'll see what happens. It's coming up on the other side. Which One Wednesday? Mic'd up. It's hump day. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is Which One Wednesday. It's hump day. Hump day. You already know how to play the game. It's a debate-style format where I throw the decision-making process at Bo and Tiff, and then Dylon judges the debate and tells you who won. Now, the last few weeks, honestly, there's been a little bit of back and forth. There's been some upset victories. There's been some probably bad judgments in this whole entire thing. But nonetheless, we're going to get back to it, and hopefully you guys can settle in, and hopefully we have good judgment this week. I'm going to be honest with you. It's faulty. It's been a little faulty.
I thought it was great. I thought it was great judgment
I'm
last
sure
week.
You did.
Don't even
Thank
have to answer that dialogue.
I'm sure you
would say that.
It's been
you
a little bit faulty.
That. You probably slipped him a couple bucks ahead of today.
It's not.
All right, man, let's start with this one. Let's go back to the Monday Night Football victory, and who was more clutch? Who was more clutch for the Atlanta Falcons on Monday night? Was it Kirk Cousins or was it Jesse Bates? Who was more clutch for the Atlanta Falcons? Kirk Cousins or Jesse Bates? Bo, we'll start with you.
No, let's start with Tiff. Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, let the challenger go first. Much like the ring entrance, when you're the challenger, you come out first.
I don't care which one of y'all goes.
Jesse Bates, I'd say, was more clutch. That was it, right? They put the icing on the cake, and he continues to be, as I have talked about before, I think one of the best free agent acquisitions. And you just expect this kind of greatness from him. So it doesn't come as a surprise, but I would say definitely more clutch.
Okay. What do you think, Bo?
Please note that the following statement is said only for this segment and only for this segment. It was Kirk Cousins. Are you serious? Guy had been doubted, hated on. The national media took shot after shot. Local media took shot. We had some guys on this radio station who couldn't stop talking about what he was.
Wait, but does that make him more clutch?
Hold on, I'm getting to it.
That's actually a valid question.
However, when the defense was getting gashed and they allowed basically, you know, the Eagles to just get the score up, you came in with 70 yards to go, a little over a minute on the clock. And you just started dropping dimes.
Big Kirko wakes up dripping like this.
And let me
pull out facts of like his five out of
only,
six, I think.
The
like,
only incomplete.
What about the Jesse Bates breakup on Devontae saying. Smith?
The only, that was key yeah. as well.
Let me tell you something. How about the fact that you roll out, save a sack when Chris Lindstrom got beat by Jalen Carter, and then you stand in there on fourth and four and you deliver a dime, and then you got pressure coming in your face, and you drop back on one foot. Back foot and
All
some
right,
say you're not
that's
healthy.
Enough
and
political
you throw a
speech.
To Darnell
we'll
Mooney.
Have to end your
wakes
rally
up
right
dripping
now.
Like
Kirko woke up and he said, "You like that, don't you?"
All right. Let me ask you guys this. I don't know if you saw this picture. Who had a cleaner throwback on Monday? Dylan had the Deion Sanders Falcons throwback on, the 21, and Simone had on the Ray McLeod style Eagles throwback Randall Cunningham. Which one's a cleaner throwback jersey, the Deion Falcons? And look, take your fanhood out of this, the Deion's Falcons or the Cunningham Eagles that looks like he's part of the movie Invincible. Which one?
Well, I'll go first. It's always going to be the Deion throwback.
Let's say take your fandom out.
He's one of – I am because about right. what I'm about to say.
Okay.
He's one of the greatest players to ever step on the field, especially the greatest cornerback to ever play. It's one of the better looks when the Falcons had those old school red jerseys. When you wear a Hall of Famers jersey into the opposing team stadium that has, like, you can go in there and you can see 35 different people and see 35 different jersey combos in that stadium,
yep.
All of which are classic players that played yep. there. They're, the best jerseys to me was those 80s Falcons with the red and the black and a little bit of the silver in there with, for the silver britches. And it's probably the greatest cornerback to ever play the game. It's got to be Dylon with any war in enemy territory.
Yeah, I feel like you're sucking up. What do you think, Tiff? I don't
know. Well, since you picked the judge, then I'm going to go Randall Cunningham, and I'm going to go with Simone because it's always right to make sure Dylan goes home to a happy home.
That's such a good point.
And so I think that that was a better throwback. It was fitting to wear that in Philadelphia where it would be greatly appreciated. I'm sure how many compliments does she get on that jersey?
Mm. We both got a lot of compliments on our jerseys.
I'm not asking about you.
This is not about you, Dylon.
I'm asking how many compliments.
She got a lot as well. She got a lot of compliments on her, just rude. Her fit in general, her
I'm sure
entire
she did.
Outfit.
I'm sure she did.
How rude oh that was gosh. Right there. I can't even believe that.
No. All right, how about this one? Let's pivot to college football. Who needs a win more, Mississippi State or Florida? Who needs to win this game more, Mississippi State or Florida? Mississippi State coming off the weekend where they were abysmal, and Florida with Billy Napier, who, let's be honest, it doesn't feel like he's going to make it much longer in that job. Who needs a win more,
Well, I'm going to just say Mississippi State, just based on the sheer fact that anything that involves a team that Bo Morgan likes losing, in particular, Florida.
That's actually a good call.
Then I'm going to have to say Mississippi State needs it more. Sorry to your boys down there in Gatorland.
Yeah.
But Mississippi State for this one.
What do you think, Bo?
Well, you know, look, I hate to agree with Tiffany, but I have to agree with Tiffany. Mississippi State needs it more because they have a coach that might have a future there. The future for Billy Napier in Florida is non-existent. So I would like to see them. I think that I want to like to, but I think they need to win more. It could kind of set things right after a debacle last weekend. There's no hope in Gainesville right now.
I don't know. One could say that about Starkville coming off a weekend where they get routed by Toledo, but nonetheless.
Billy Napier has done the impossible. He has made it's not even enjoyable for me to revel in the misery that Sandra Golden and the rest of the Florida State fans have right now of Mike Norvell's incompetence because he's so freaking incompetent.
It's just all bad.
Why am I so angry? I'm not happy. Happy.
Let me say this one. I'm not even going to throw any qualifiers in there. I'm going to let you create your own qualifiers for this one. Which one is better? Which one is better, Sunday Night Football or Monday Night Football? Sunday Night Football, I'm not even going to ask you. I'm not even going to throw categories out there. Which one's better, Sunday Night or Monday Night Football?
Monday Night Football. Monday Night Football is the OG of these night primetime football games. There's something different about Monday Night Football. It's the only game on normally that day. You look forward to it all night. Sunday Night Football, to me, you know, you get caught up in the, have I drank too much already to enjoy Sunday Night Football? Am I too tired already? I got to work the next day. You know, Monday, I have one thing to look forward to all day. It's Monday Night Football.
You got to work the day after Monday Night, too.
I was going to say Sunday Night Football because you feel reinvigorated after watching football the entire day. Why not put the cherry on the ice cream, drizzle some fudge over it? That's what Sunday Night Football is. To me.
Is that how you watch Sunday Night Football with the cherry on the Sunday?
Well, because
with the
I'm
fudge?
Old, usually it's like halfway trying to stay awake because it's on way too late. All these games are on too late.
But some of those socks that you pull all the way up because they have the compression socks.
All right. And a cup of tea.
Let's try to get through a couple more right here. How about this one? Which meal would you rather have? Which food would you rather have? Kansas City barbecue or a Philly cheesesteak? Talking about the opponent from last week and this week. Kansas City barbecue or a Philly cheesesteak?
Philly cheesesteak hands
sleep
down.
On KC barbecue.
No,
I feel like you're just disrespecting Casey's barbecue.
Philly cheesesteak. I've had Kansas City barbecue.
Very
it's been
solid.
Good. But to me, there's nothing better than thinly sliced. Actually, what is the meat? It's a steak. It's steak. There you go. Philly cheesesteak.
Well, you sold this one really well. What kind of meat? Some cheesesteak?
It's pork. No. No, it's not.
Well, you can't.
I was going to try to get a few more, but I don't know if I even want to go any further than that.
In my defense, I usually drink my coffee earlier. I am drinking it later in the morning. Therefore, that contributed to me questioning the type of meat.
You read
that
some
is
kind
in
of you, article or something. Sorry, let you down
you
that
can
path.
Get that style of sandwich and be pork, but I don't think it's a cheese steak anymore. I think it's a.
Is it barbecue?
Just cut that from the stream.
Can I say something real quick? It's Kansas City barbecue. I've had both in both of the cities. Also, are you going to listen to Tiffany? Are you going to listen to the meat man tell you what's better?
I'm conceding to you today. I'm conceding to you today.
That's just okay? So.
I've already, you know, I didn't yell louder. I didn't really present my arguments with
you didn't
a lot
even know
facts.
What you were arguing for at times.
I didn't even know what kind of meat was in a cheesesteak.
I'm saying, if I lose this one, then I think it's
just rigged. I've already called it. I've already.
I was gonna try to get a couple more. I'm raising the flag. Go ahead, Dylan.
Waved the white flag. I've already waved it.
Yeah, let's go ahead and make this the consensus. The meat man has got the dub today. Tiffany, you were actually not as far away as you thought you were.
No, I was pretty bad today. Today was not good.
I had so many good ones, and I had two more. I was gonna ask y'all the better month, September or January. Or the tougher matchup for the Falcons right now, the Saints or the Chiefs. And after that last one, when we're asking what meat's on a cheesesteak, I was like, I'm done. All
September.
Right, let's just call it in.
September.
I'm done.
And the Saints.
You've already won, okay? I'm cooked. Just like a cheesesteak, which has steak on it.
I could argue with you all day, but that means you have to talk more. So I'm just gonna concede.
Wait, hey, Dylan, don't call it a streak, but it's a streak.
Wait, how many have you won in a row?
Two.
That's not much of a streak.
It is
in
this. Like,
it's a pair of wins.
Yeah, it's a pair.
Well, it is when you only get to do it once a week.
Talk to me when you get three. We'll talk next week if you get three. That's when you can call it a streak. That's the only way you can call it a streak. All right.
What kind of meat's in a cheese
steak? Look, I'm sorry for my shameful performance.
It should be. Apologize to Tiffites.
So, Squid Nation, you can tee off if you'd like. Or you can tell us what you expect from the Falcons this week against the Chiefs. Now that it's Wednesday, folks, it's a short week. What would you do to prepare for this game? Give us a call, 404-726-0929. The wake-up call is next on the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're in our 8 o'clock hour. It is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer in your home today and start packing. It's time now for the wake-up call. You can call us at 404-726-0929. 2-9, you can weigh in on your thoughts ahead of the Falcons and Chiefs, which is going down on Sunday Night Football at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Or maybe you have something to say about which one Wednesday and how I got smoked.
I was going to bring this up at the end of the last segment, but I know we had to get to break. I threw the one out there. I was like, man, I wanted to get to that Saints and Chief. Which one's a more difficult opponent right now? You said the Saints, Bo. I'm a little bit shocked by that. They are a great, great team right now, but... I look at the Chiefs and they've done so many good things and obviously a first ballot Hall of Famer at quarterback, and I was kind of shocked to hear you say that. So.
Maybe you're saying that as I speak for you because of the route that they just did on the Cowboys. They crushed them, and so you feel like maybe they have the hot hand, maybe they'll keep riding that, whereas the Chiefs have long been consistent. So what's more dangerous, the long consistent team or the team that's kind of got the hot hand?
Yeah, you bring up a point that is in my factoring. They are the hot hand. They're also a team that seems to be completely healthy with offensive weapons. Like Alvin Kamara looks as good as he's looked in a few years. And you go to the Saints and they've got, what's our boy that plays on our fantasy team, Mike? Shahid. Shahid. Yeah. Look, they have Derek Carr, okay? They don't have Patrick Mahomes, and Patrick Mahomes is elite. He is the best quarterback in the NFL, and he's going to make a case to be the greatest of all time when it's all said and done. But Travis Kelce has struggled. Now, he could break out any point, but this guy had a one catch for 5 yards last week.
Speaking of guys on our fantasy team, that's
he's struggling.
He's anchoring us in there.
Isaiah Pacheco, who, if you want to talk about how good of a player he is, he's extremely good. He's also a guy that had 90 yards on the ground last week while also having 5 catches for over 20-plus yards. That's a key piece they're missing. Teams, I think you know how to play Kansas City. You know, and I say you know how to play, you kind of teams have gotten in to be able to make them grind. They just have the ultimate X factor. Right now, there's a lot of unknowns about what I think it's Clint Kubiak is doing with the offensive system down in New Orleans, to where New Orleans has ran the same system seemingly since the – well, it, not seemingly. Pete Carmichael literally ran the exact same system that Sean Payton did. It was just a different play caller. They found explosive plays. They're filling themselves. Their offensive line was supposed to be a joke. They looked like maybe the best in the league after two games. The defense did a phenomenal job of creating turnovers. So they also know you, right? And they know things about you. Division games are already tough. It feels like now it's weighted twice as much with the start they've gotten off to.
Make a good case.
Yeah, that's just the thing about me for New Orleans. Don't get me wrong. You win tomorrow night. You win Sunday night against Kansas City in prime time. And you can lose in New Orleans and everyone's still going to think you're one of the best teams in the NFL. And you might be. But that's a prove-it game against Kansas City. I just think that New Orleans is tough right now.
Let's go to the lines. We got Chris in College Park. Good morning, Chris.
What's happening, Chris?
What's going on? Squid Nation in the building.
Love it, my friend. How you doing this morning, sir?
I'm doing good, fearless leader.
Don't
all
come
American.
For me today. I won't. Go ahead and put that out here right now.
Yes, ma'am, Mademoiselle Ledput. We'll call a truce this morning.
Thank you.
Let me get right to the game. Like everybody else in town, riding the emotional high of a great win for the Falcons. In past regimes, games like that would get away from us. You know, DQ and Arthur Smith, we just couldn't find a way to win. And something that I noticed when I was watching the telecast, of course, I was listening to Dave and Arch on the radio, but I'm watching. I don't know if you guys caught on that last drive the way Cousins ran out onto the field. I just happened to notice, like, he didn't trot out there. He didn't kind of walk. He sprinted out there and got to the huddle. And I was like, man, we're going to win this game. So the subtleness of him and his experience, I see it coming through. I was always worried about that Achilles. I'm glad I didn't call the first week and let it marinate. But he looked good out there. He looked good. Yeah, Mike, I was ready to pounce, bro. I was ready to go.
And, you and everybody else, man. You and everybody else through seven quarters. You and everybody else were ready to pounce too. I don't blame you, man. I don't blame you. I did not notice it on the telecast on Sunday, or I'm sorry, on Monday. But I will say this: I saw him many times during training camp take the field that way when they were coming from the sideline during some of the team drills, and I love it. I love the energy he brings to that huddle.
I've talked about the one play where he scrambled incomplete, and I thought that did something. Go watch the touchdown to Mooney, and then find the all 22 where you can see the sideline, and you can see Cousins after he throws that ball to Mooney where Mooney scores a touchdown on. It just felt like there was a weight lifted off of that unit. It just felt like something went into that play that just changed the mindset for all of those guys.
This is our wake-up call. You can call us at 404-726-0929. We got Jeff in Alpharetta. Good morning, Jeff.
Hey, good morning.
What's up, man?
Proud member here of the Flam Flam Family.
Let's go!
So,
about time. Let's go.
Yes.
Tired of hearing from these guys, Jeff.
Appreciate you taking my call. I need you all, the panel, to weigh in on whether I need a wake-up call. I grew up in Tennessee. I was in college before the Titans even came to Nashville. So I grew up without any kind of NFL affiliation. It was like six, seven more years before I started watching, because a buddy got me dragged into his fantasy football league. Happened to be the year that the Giants won the Super Bowl. Having no idea what I was doing, drafted a bunch of Giants players to my team. So I started watching a ton of their games and, you know, just became a casual Giants fan at that point for the next couple of years until I stopped playing fantasy football, which happened when I moved to Georgia. Been listening to whether it's, you know, the morning shift or, you know, Rick Kamla back in the day. And I forget the name of the guy who was the San Francisco 49ers guy. He used to be a morning host. Like, I've been listening to 92.9 The Game talk about Atlanta sports for the past decade now.
So this is your dilemma you're getting to. Should you be a Giants fan or an Atlanta fan?
Is it okay? I have a daughter now. I want her to grow up as an Atlanta fan. Is it okay for me to be an Atlanta fan now, or do I deserve a wake-up call for bailing on the Giants?
I think I can start this show, and then I won't. Obviously, you guys weigh in. I'll make it quick. you didn't grow up with an allegiance, so therefore you never had a true allegiance. You said the word casual, so that makes me seem like you hung out and watched Giants games when it was a setting of a public, you know, a friend setting, some sure. kind of casual setting.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean to me, I don't feel like you are tied to anything. So now that you've put your roots down in this state with this radio station, and you have a family of your own, I don't think there's anything wrong with raising your daughter as a Falcons fan and supporting that, or an Atlanta sports fan and supporting those teams as it coincides with that.
And here's what else I'll say, man. We talk to Falcons fans all the time, do we not? That are like, man, I've lived through decades of misery. You haven't had to do that. I think now's a good time, right? You haven't had to deal with that. Now's a good time. You buy when the stock is on its way up, and I think it is in Atlanta. I think the stock's on its way up. So I think now's a good time. If you really want your daughter to be a part of that fan base, I absolutely can vibe with that. I think now's the time, and make that move. Take the plunge, Jeff.
Falcons rise
up. Yeah, yeah.
I do not have a problem with anything that you guys are saying. But I just think maybe your daughter should, you know, kind of pick her own team. Maybe, you know, fandom just has to come to you.
That's
you can
not
be
true.
Born into mm-hmm. it. I no. understand that. But why not throw out a bevy of different hats and see which one she picks?
That's not going to be an issue with my kids, I can promise you.
I think sometimes you do have to do what's best for your children, and that would probably make her a Falcons fan. Right, yeah.
But also, it just break your heart if, like, you raise her a Falcons fan, and then one day, I don't know, maybe she has a group of friends, and they're like, you know what, we're all Cowboys fan.
Well, how would they become
probably,
friends then?
I'd probably disown her, but you know, she paid for her own wedding.
How
at
would
that
they
point,
become friends?
But
look, I'm just trying to prepare Jeff for what happens. I don't know what age your daughter is, but I know when I hit the teenage years, you know, my dad probably wanted me to like something. I hated it.
Yeah, that's because you just went against. That's because you're stubborn.
I'm just kidding.
I will say this though, Jeff. When you make the decision, it's now ride or die. There's no more turning.
It's black and red paint in her bedroom.
There's no turning back for both of you.
It's time to go. Yeah,
you don't quit.
I completely agree. Let's roll.
All right, just ahead here, we've got a national NFL insider for The Athletic, Jeff Howe, coming on with us. Let's break down this season. We'll be right back here on The Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are back here on The Morning Shift and going straight to the WadeFord.com hotline. That is where we find national NFL insider for The Athletic, Jeff Howe, joining us here on The Shift. Good morning, Jeff.
Hey, how are you?
Doing great. How are you doing?
Doing well. Can't complain.
Good. We are looking at your article, the NFL QB Stock Report, Week 3. And you got Kyler Murray surging into the top 10. What goes into putting this together for you?
A lot. there's a lot to it. I mean, it's based on obviously performance through the first 2 weeks. That's a big part of it. But the quarterback's track record, the ceiling, the floor based on past performance relative to what I think they can do this season. And then the circumstances around what they're doing is a big part of it too. I mean, I think at the end of the Cliff Kingsbury era in Arizona, we kind of knew that the track record with Kyler Murray was going to be somebody who was going to tail off toward the end of the season, whether it was due to performance or injury or both. But right now with Drew Petzing as the offensive coordinator and Jonathan Gannon as the head coach and a lot more talent around him, I think the ceiling is a lot higher. So I think that's just one example of a guy who can be elevated by what's going on around him as well.
So what do you think this means for Kirk Cousins now after the win over the Eagles? Because right now you have him at 17.
Yeah, I was surprised that he struggled as much as he did in the opener. And there was certainly some more confidence coming back with that game-winning drive. But I thought he also looked a little timid, like he didn't maybe trust his reads through a good chunk of that game the other night. And to me, that shows somebody who is still trying to work his way back, whether it's because of the layoff due to the Achilles injury or just trying to learn the new offense or the new situation around him with the new team, maybe the pressure of the contract, whatever it is, he's still clearly catching up to speed in Atlanta. And I just think that, you know, physically, because of what we saw in that last drive, I think he's probably better than what we might have given him credit for since the opener. I just think mentally, he looks like he's still working through trusting his reads And that's something that I think is going to take some time.
Yeah, it's crazy how your outlook on a quarterback and a team can change just after a two-minute drill. Jeff, I want to ask you about a couple of Falcons opponents they have coming up, and it's a conversation I never thought in a million years we'd be having after week two. But the conversation has been, which one of these is going to be a tougher challenge? Will it be the Chiefs or the Saints? You talk about a couple of quarterbacks. I didn't ever think we'd be putting Derek Carr in this conversation, but yet Saints look like they're pretty good at this point in time.
Yeah, that's another one where you want to see it for more of an extended period of time. I mean, I would still say the Chiefs are the tougher of the two opponents there. But with the way the Saints are playing, I mean, that's not going to be an easy one either. The thing with the Saints, to me, is they've shown this at times, whether it was when they were kind of struggling at the end of the Sean Payton era, or even at times under Dennis Allen, where they'll have a stretch. Maybe it's just a couple games, maybe it's three games, what have you, where they'll look incredible. And then you kind of forget at the end of the season that they won nine games, which they seem to do every single year. But you just want to see it sustained before you look at them as maybe a contender, whether it's the playoff race or a team that could win some playoff games. But what I like, of course, is what Clint Kubiak has done with Derek Carr. And this is somebody who, for the past several years, has really kind of taken he's fallen off. The performance hasn't been great. But that's another situation where the circumstances around him, I thought that it was a very vanilla offensive system with New Orleans. He clearly didn't mesh well with what was going on with the Raiders toward the end there. And now you got Clint Kubiak coming in from the San Francisco system, and what he's been able to do through a couple weeks has been really impressive. I mean, anybody who can score on 15 consecutive drives is okay in my book. But just long-term sustainability, what is the Saints' ceiling? You just want to see a little bit more.
All right, Jeff, well, let's talk about the Chiefs then. And the thing that I'm looking at when I look over everything with this offense is, look, they're still scoring points at a good clip. They seem to struggle at times. And Patrick Mahomes has kind of got off to a ho-hum starting through the first two games for his standards. But Travis Kelce has been non-existent. What is going on with Travis Kelce right now? Why has he gotten off to such a slow start so far?
Yeah, it's certainly strange. And I think we kind of saw this come in spurts last season, too, where you got to wonder, I think he's 34 years old. I mean, obviously getting up there in age, so he's not going to be as productive. He's not going to be this elite pass catcher that he's been for so long in his career. And then you've got the other situation, too, where Patrick Mahomes is trying to work in a relatively new group of receivers. I know some of them have been there longer than this offseason, but when you've got Xavier Worthy or you've got Rashee Rice coming in after everything that he kind of put himself through in the offseason and still only a second-year player, you're still trying to kind of get everybody up to speed with where Mahomes wants the entire offense to be. So I could see it possibly being a situation where, yeah, we're going to look at the age, and that's the easy one, but you're also trying to bring everybody else along too. And when you look at what Mahomes is doing, I mean, he's such a big picture type of quarterback where, it reminds me of Tom Brady in a way. It doesn't really matter what's going on so much in September and October. It's just, all right, what can you do right now that's going to prepare you for January? Because everybody in the world knows the Chiefs are going to be there in January. It's just, how can you maximize your potential once the stakes get a whole lot higher? So let's try to incorporate everybody around you. And you know that, months down the road, Travis Kelce is going to be fine. And fine can be a relative term with Travis Kelce. Fine might not necessarily mean 10 catches for 120 yards in a playoff game, but fine could absolutely mean he's going to catch three really important ones when Mahomes really needs them most.
Jeff Howell joining us here on the Morning Shift. Jeff, the next question I have, and we're going to talk about quarterbacks, obviously, but you look inside this division, Bryce Young being benched over there in Charlotte. I think it's shocking to a lot of people, but if you really look at the film and some of the inadequacies of that offense over there under Dave Canales, I don't think it's all that shocking. They have to get something pointed in the right direction for that franchise.
Yeah, it's just such a frustrating situation. I mean, Bryce Young looks completely lost. He has no he's not playing with any confidence. He certainly doesn't trust what he's seeing. And this is not the Bryce Young that we saw at the end of his Alabama career, or really for the entirety of his Alabama career. And it's just what it goes back to, talking to people around the league about the benching, people aren't And I did some work on this last season, too, at the end of the year when it was, okay, do you second-guess the Panthers for taking Bryce over C.J. Stroud? And certainly there's an element of that. I'm not going to dismiss that. But the big takeaway I had when I did this story at the end of last season was you could have put C.J. Stroud or Tom Brady in his prime in that Panthers situation last season, and that quarterback was not going to have success. And that's carried over into this season. There's just not enough talent around him. The offensive line, I know they invested in it heavily this offseason, still not where it needs to be. And, you know, Dave Canales was brought in to kind of fix Bryce Young, and all of a sudden, two games in, that project has been swept under the rug. So it's an impossible situation for any quarterback. It's just there's not enough around him. And you're seeing, unfortunately, what looks like the case of yet another young quarterback who doesn't have the experience, who doesn't know, who isn't capable of playing through all of the chaos around him at the skill positions, whether it's, you know, the new coaching staff, the offensive line protection, and they had to put him on the bench because he's not playing with any confidence. And you just have to hope that long-term, you know, whatever happens with Andy Dalton, whatever, like they're trying to right the ship right now. But the bottom line is they need to, like, this rebuild is not going to go anywhere if they don't find the quarterback. And they invested a lot of collateral in Bryce Young being that quarterback. So when it's time to put him back in, whether it's as early as week four, which certainly I don't think any of us expect it to be, or it's next off season, they've got to invest every resource that they could possibly find into rebuilding his confidence before they can figure out if he's a franchise quarterback.
Jeff, last one for you. And I know we're not supposed to get ahead. It's 1 week at a time. But I am going to get ahead because we're talking about NFC South quarterbacks. Derek Carr, Baker Mayfield. How big of a concern are those two guys for the Falcons who they're going to see after the Chiefs?
Yeah, I mean, I thought the NFC South, I don't want to say out of nowhere, but it's a whole lot more entertaining now than it has been for the past several years. I mean, this division's looking better than it has been. I mean, take out like some of the Tom Brady years when we knew the Bucs were going to be terrific. But the NFC South has kind of been down. It's been that down division for so long. And right now, if the Saints and Derek Carr are able to sustain this start, and if Kirk Cousins and the Falcons get to where I thought they would be going into the season, this three-team race is going to be really exciting. And I knew the Bucs were good. I was confident the Bucs were going to get off to a good start. I was confident they were going to look good. I didn't expect them to look as good as they have this quickly. I mean, it's about the offensive coordinators, in my opinion, with this division. You've got three really good ones coming in. I think Clint Kubiak was a little bit more of an unknown, but you know, Liam Cohen has done good work. Zach Robinson was very highly regarded with the Rams, and I know how highly regarded the Falcons are. I mean, I was down in Atlanta in training camp, and Raheem Morris was saying, yeah, they brought in Zach Robinson. They knew that he was going to be a head coach in very short order, so they had to build a good staff around him because they were prepared to lose him. So you've got three really good, young, exciting offensive coordinators who have their offenses playing really well, and with, you know, Baker Mayfield's taken a jump. Derek Carr so far has taken a jump. Kirk Cousins, you know, I'm not worried about him. I do think it's going to take a little time just off of what we've seen through the first couple weeks. But this is going to be a fun division race. And I thought going into the season it was still the Bucs division because they've kind of earned that right or that reputation with the, I think it's now three consecutive division titles. I expected the Falcons to be right there with them. I didn't know they were going to get off to a sluggish of a start because of Cousins and kind of working through the adjustments there. And then with the Saints, again, playing above expectations, it's going to be a fun race.
It really will be. I can't wait to see how this all unfolds towards the end of the season, Jeff. Thanks so much for joining us.
Of course. Thanks a lot for having me.
That was National NFL Insider for The Athletic, Jeff Howe, joining us on The Morning Shift. You can follow him on X at Jeff P. Howe. We have some steak tips on the way when we come back. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer in your home today and start packing.
That's right. A little W sauce, a little Bloody Mary mix. Hey, I'm going to have to talk to my boys because we got to get them to the Brown Grass Charity Golf Classic, which is happening the second annual, November 25th. There are still slots available. Got a few few groups already in there. I know it's early. It'll be, you know, hashtag Squid Nation will reign supreme.
Here we go.
Per just usual. Remember, this was a house that Squid Billy built.
It's not.
Because the group that won last year are my boys. They are proud members of Squid Nation and EW Live. And look, it's going to.
What is
EW Live?
It's my little group of golf.
It's just weird.
Golf you buddies. Your own group, your own of, group golf of friends. Buddies?
Yeah, well, man, you know.
I find it strange.
We got our own.
Not
we got
hating,
our own.
It's just strange.
We got our own attire as well. That's what we did.
Oh, no. You guys had shirts made?
Oh, yeah, shirts. We got hoodies. We got hats.
This seems very.
We got koozies.
Fraternity like.
Hey, you
it
know
actually
what?
Does.
Stuff we don't pay.
You were never in a fraternity, were you?
I was not a fraternity guy.
So this is you trying to recapture something.
No. I don't pay for friends.
Tiff,
I just got
friends. I thought you were
going
to say you didn't have any friends growing up, so this is your.
I mean, that's probably accurate as well.
What do you think you can take on? Are you a part of Squid Nation? You want to join the cumulative score? November 25th, go to 1990 Games website, go to the event page, and you will find all of the details to sign up. And you might even see Tiffany. It might even be a Tiffany Blackman sighting that day. I don't know. I can't guarantee it.
Might need to line these pockets, but it's for charity, right?
It is for charity. It's for our friends. I'm glad you asked.
See, look what I did there.
You did me a solid. It's for our friends, for Pets for Vets, all right? It's a great cause. You take two things that are dear to my heart, pets and our veterans, and we're making them one, and we're helping out both. So it's an awesome cause. You can find more details at petsforvest.com. All right. Colorado coming off a big win. Tiff, you were there over Colorado State.
I was.
And Deion Sanders is back at it, attacking the media. I joke a little bit. He has decided he would call out the media for the way, it was done, I believe, yesterday, for the way they cover today's college athlete, which is fueled by NIL deals. Let's hear from Deion Dylon.
When I say I genuinely love these kids, I genuinely really do. It's not about what they can do for me on the football field. It's about what I can help them with in life. Landscape has changed in football. Once upon a time, you guys never attacked college players. Now they're making more money than y'all. And some of y'all are envious and jealous about that. So you're on the tech. It was hands off a college player because he's an amateur. You remember? Remember that, guys? Now it's hands on. Go at them any kind of way you want. They're making more money than me, and I'm mad about it. When you attack them, these guys are sensitive. They've never been attacked. They hadn't gone through what a grown man, what I've been going through with y'all for years. They haven't done that. So it is what it is. I know you're going to do your job and what you must do, but your job does not say in attack. The personal stuff, leave it to be personal, because if we start flipping the script on y'all, you wouldn't like it. I can easy. Thank you, Lord, for stopping me there. Whoo, that was almost a good one.
All right.
That would have went viral.
Enough of Deion. Deion, you're completely wrong. First off, I have yet to see a college athlete attacked in a way that would make it seem personal. It seems like I do have seen people say that they're going to criticize college athletes today more, Tiff and Mike, because they feel like, hey, they are getting paid. Have you ever walked into a fast food place and decided you're going to scold the 16-year-old behind the counter because your food wasn't right or wasn't good enough? What's the difference? They are paid.
Wait,
there's no envy. There's no jealousy.
That doesn't make it right.
Let me tell you something. When you're paid to do something, you're open to criticism. You're now a professional, and these college athletes are now professionals if they're being paid. Do I think they should be attacked? No, and I have yet to see a college athlete be attacked at the level that Deion is making it sound like.
So I'll just go. I know you're just using an example, but like you shouldn't go in and yell at a kid making your freaking sandwich.
I don't,
anyway,
and I don't
I know,
agree
I know,
with it.
I know you don't, but that's just, I get that you're getting paid, but you are still, like, how can I, you should be compensated for the work that you are doing.
This,
right?
Yeah.
But I also think you still factor in age. You are still a kid, and you're not even fully, like, developed yet as an adult.
Real quick.
So I don't think that there should be fair grounds just to be a little bit more critical because they are being paid. Keep in mind these are still kids
at the
end of the day who are physically putting their bodies on the line, and that is why they should be compensated.
And I don't mind them being compensated, but if you're going to act like an adult, you're going to get treated like one. If you're going to go into
That's not acting like an adult.
If you're going to go in a coach's office and negotiate a deal every season, You with that, and to get the best deal for you, and to say, hey, I'm not going to be here for this. I'm going to go get this because it's making more money. Then why are you above criticism of how you play on the field?
Let me try to bring this home, because I completely disagree with you, shockingly. But what do you expect them to do? There's some of these guys, their families back home need this money. It's their exactly. one shot to get this money. But here's what else I'll say, because I don't know if I agree with either one of y'all. The problem with this is before NIL and still now, a lot of guys still play this game for the love of the game. Not everybody's getting NIL. And where the hypocrisy comes in is when you roll back to the first time Deion walked in the team room and said, I'm bringing in Louis. If you ain't ready, you need to get out. Then what are we even talking about? Did you not degrade the guys that were on that team and probably walked on at Colorado or went to Colorado when they could have gone other places, and you basically told them to leave and go somewhere else? And now that there's been criticism of these players, now you want to guard the guys that you've brought in because they're the guys that you've brought in. But don't criticize the young athletes that were sitting in those seats before and then try to say, well, you know, you're being critical because they make money. All right? You were the ones that went in there when the guys weren't making money. The guys weren't making as much money before you got there, and you kicked them out of the freaking chairs in their theater seat over in Colorado and told them to get lost, and you were bringing in better players because it's a what? A business. I'm pretty sure that's exactly what he said. All right, so I there's a number of different angles to go at this. I don't love or hate Deion, but there's a lot of hypocrisy in what he's saying because of the way he dealt with the guys that were already in those seats before he got there.
Well, I love both of y'all, and I love the conversation because it's fun. That's the life of Squid today, Tiff.
All right, coming up next, we'll find out what's going down in the steakhouse. Stay with us here on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Port Trent pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.